Today I want to commence a study on highlights from the life of Saul of Tarsus, better known to us all as the Apostle Paul. Over these next number of weeks at both morning and evening services, I want us to consider this subject. Three words sum up the life of the Apostle Paul. Three very simple words. Sinner, saint, and servant. There's no doubt that Paul was a great sinner who became a great saint and spent his life as a great servant of God. However, although Paul was a great sinner before he was converted, he was a very, very religious and educated sinner. Paul was born of Hebrew parents, and he could trace his ancestry back to the tribe of Benjamin. Being brought up as a Jew, Paul was taught according to the perfect, strict manner of the law of the Hebrew fathers. Indeed, Paul says himself that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who was known in Israel at that time as the great rabbi. Paul was also, of course, a Roman citizen. This came about because of where Paul was born and brought up as a boy. He lived in the city of Tarsus. That's why he is described in the Bible as Saul of Tarsus. Tarsus was located 10 miles inland from the Mediterranean Sea in the southeast central region of the Roman province of Cilicia. Tarsus was made a free city by Rome, which resulted in the granting of Roman citizenship for the people of Tarsus. Therefore, here's the reason why Paul could say in Acts 22 verse 28 that he was free born. In other words, Paul was a Roman citizen because he was born and brought up in the city of Tarsus. Therefore, when you study the life of the Apostle Paul, even that life that is recorded in the Bible before he was converted, he was a young man with many privileges. And yet, with all his privileges, Paul was a sinner of the deepest dye. Now, very simply today, as an introductory message to this series of messages from highlights from the life of the Apostle Paul, I want to draw your attention to Paul the persecutor. Now, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul at all, you will know that before he was converted, he was a persecutor of the Church of Jesus Christ. I must say, up until these studies, I had never really thought in-depthly about how Paul persecuted the Church of Christ before he was saved. And I pray today, as we come to consider this aspect of Paul's life, that you will listen very, very carefully as we highlight this aspect of the Apostle's life before he was saved by the grace of God. Because as we study this part of Paul's life, we discover that he was indeed a very, very wicked and ungodly individual. There are three things that I want to highlight, and I want you to listen very carefully. If you have your Bible, I want you to consider, first of all, the commencement of Paul's persecution of the church. Now, the first time Paul is mentioned in the Bible is in Acts chapter 7. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 7. And of course, in this portion of Scripture, we have the martyrdom of Stephen. Here we have the stoning of God's saint. And it's very interesting what we read at the end of verse, or chapter 7 of the book of Acts. Verse 58, we read these words, "And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Saul himself does not cast stones at Stephen. Saul himself does not lift stones and cast them at Stephen. But he associates with those who do. Paul's part in the martyrdom of Stephen is to look after the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death. That's what verse 58 reveals unto us. However, although Paul seemingly played a small part in Stephen's death, he was as guilty as those who took up the stones. Take a look at chapter 8 there in verse 1. And you read these words. And Saul was consenting. Underline that phrase. Saul was consenting unto his death. Unto the death of Stephen. The word consenting in the text emphasizes the hatred of Paul's heart that was found in Paul's heart. And his great hatred of Christianity. The meaning of this word involves to take pleasure with others in anything or to approve of. That's what the word implies. Therefore, Paul's consenting to Stephen's death means that he approved of it with pleasure. In other words, Paul was glad when Stephen was killed. He agreed with those who took up the stones to kill the preacher of the gospel. Paul delighted when Stephen's life was taken from him. Here we have the commencement of Paul's persecution of the Church of Jesus Christ. As far as the Bible's record is concerned, you know, many years later when Paul was giving his testimony after he was saved in Acts chapter 22, he speaks about his part in the death of Stephen. Acts 22 verse 20, let me read you those words. Paul says, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Therefore, the commencement of Paul's persecution of the church can be traced back to the killing of Stephen, the martyrdom of Stephen. And although Paul did not literally lift the stones and cast them at Stephen, which caused his death, Paul's heart was full of hatred and full of evil towards Christ and his saints. And I believe that can be seen very clearly in these references that we have considered. Persecution of God's people begins in the heart of the persecutor. And there is no doubt that it has begun in the heart of Saul of Tarsus towards the Christians and towards Christ and the cause of Christ. There are many saints in this world today, of course, and they're being persecuted for their faith. You and I, in this part of the world, we really get off very lightly when it comes to persecution. As we're going to see just in a moment when we consider Paul's persecution of the church in more depth. But across the world today, men and women, never let us forget, as we sit in the comfort of this church building, there are those who love the Lord in places like China and places like India and other regions of the world, and God's servants are being persecuted in a great way. And we must never forget to pray for them, and we must never forget to uphold them around the throne of grace. But here we can see this persecutor beginning his evil work, and it began in his heart. It began by him consenting unto the death of Stephen, approving the death of Stephen, wanting Stephen killed. But you know, as you consider the book of Acts here, and consider this subject of Paul the persecutor, I want you to notice, secondly, the cruelty of Paul's persecution of the church. Now, all persecution is wicked and evil and cruel. But there are different depths of cruelty. Paul's cruelty of the Church of Christ before his conversion was of the worst kind. Paul was cruel beyond measure. Paul was wicked beyond comprehension. I want you to notice the fivefold cruelty of Paul before he became a saint of God himself towards the saints of the Lord. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you, first of all, to turn to Acts chapter 9, that portion of scripture which we read earlier. First of all, you'll notice Paul threatened the saints. That's the first thing he did. Look at verse 1 of chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings against the disciples of the Lord. Underline those words. Those words, I'm sure, are familiar to us. But you know, sometimes when we read Acts chapter 9, we're so excited about getting down to his conversion that we can read those verses very quickly. But they're in the Bible for a reason and for a purpose. God has put these words here to draw our attention to the evil of this man before he was converted. And here we can see Saul of Tarsus, and he threatens the saints. Paul threatened to hurt the Christians if they did not give in to his demand. And of course, his demand was for them to turn away from their Christian faith. Paul demanded that the Christians recant their faith in Jesus Christ, that they denounce that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was indeed the main instigator at this time in the persecution of the Church of Jesus Christ. And he threatened them. Not only did he threaten them, but of course, turn back to Acts chapter 8 and look with me there at verse 3, and you will notice that he imprisoned the saints. He put them into prison. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison. The word healing in verse 3 means violently pulling or dragging. In other words, when Paul found Christians in their home who refused to turn away from Christianity, he forcibly dragged them out of their homes and imprisoned them. But men and women, it is important that we understand exactly what's happening here. It's important that we can see here the type of individual that we're dealing with. This fact that Paul imprisoned the saints and physically abused them and dragged them from their home is emphasized also in chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Look at it again. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of these Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Why would he bring them bound unto Jerusalem? Well, he was going to imprison them. He was going to make an example of them. In Acts chapter 22, verses 4 and 5, we read these words. Paul says this when he was giving his testimony. I persecuted this way, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And in Acts chapter 26, again, when the apostle was giving his testimony, we read there these words in the verse 10. Paul says, "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints," not few of the saints, but it says here, indeed, Paul's own testimony after he was converted, he says, "Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." Here was a man, and his whole life purpose was to destroy and wipe out Christianity from off the face of the map. He threatened the saints, and he imprisoned the saints. Indeed, on four different occasions, we are told that Paul, in his persecution of the church, imprisoned God's people. But not only did he threaten them, and not only did he imprison them, but he beat the saints. In Acts 22, verse 19, let me just read it to you. Again, in Paul's testimony, he said this. Acts 22, verse 19, "And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat," underline that, "in every synagogue, them that believed on thee." The word "beat" there means to flay. And of course, to flay means to strip off the skin. In other words, Paul beat the saints so hard with the whips of persecution that their flesh was ripped apart. What great cruelty Paul inflicted upon the saints of God. And not only did he threaten them, and not only did he imprison them, and not only did he beat them, but of course he tortured them as well. He tortured them with cruel words. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, we read these words. I think it's important to turn to these different verses and to see them in the light of our subject. We read there in verse 13, Paul said, when he was writing to Timothy after his conversion, obviously, he said about himself, "who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious." The word "blasphemer" here means abusive or evil speaking. Paul spoke abusively concerning Christ and his people. Therefore, brutal language accompanied brutal actions. In 1 Timothy 1 verse 13, there's another word there I want you to notice. It's the word "injurious." The word "injurious," this word means insolent or violent. It involves injuring others by word or by deed or by both. But again, it draws our attention to the torture of Paul against the church of Christ. So you can see here that we're dealing with a very wicked individual. We're dealing here with a very evil man. And although he was a man full of religion and well educated, he was a sinner of the deepest dye. And of course, not only did he torture God's people, and not only did he imprison God's people, and not only did he beat God's people, and not only did he threaten God's people, but he also supported the killing of the saints. Now, we have already noticed Paul's involvement in the killing of Stephen, but Paul was involved in the killing of many, many other saints. Look again at Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, underline these words, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter." And slaughter. And then, of course, let me read it to you in Acts chapter 22 and the verse 4, it says, "I persecuted this way," Paul said, "unto the death." I underline those words. Paul not only imprisoned them, not only tortured them, not only beat the saints of God, but he killed them. Child of God, we need to let these truths that the Bible sets before us about Saul of Tarsus sink down into our hearts. Paul was a brutal individual. He was a brutal murderer. Never forget that. He persecuted the saints unto death. Here we see the depths of Paul's cruelty as he persecuted the Church of Jesus Christ. Cruel thoughts, if go unchecked, will lead to cruel actions. And although at the commencement of Paul's persecution of the church, although that persecution at the start was only in his heart, it soon manifested itself into actions. And he became, at that time, the chief persecutor of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, isn't it wonderful that the grace of God can save the vilest sinner? Now, we're going to see this tonight, and of course, when we read on down Acts chapter 9, we discover how the Lord wondrously and gloriously transformed this man's life and saved his precious, precious soul. But you know, the grace of God can save the vilest sinner. The blood of Christ can cleanse the most ungodliest of men. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved and you're not a Christian. And maybe you certainly wouldn't associate yourself with the life that Paul lived before he was converted. You wouldn't threaten God's people and you wouldn't beat God's people and you wouldn't seek to imprison God's people. And you've no hatred within your heart for God's people. And yet the Bible tells us very clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And the truth is, as Saul of Tarsus needed the grace of God, so do you and I need the grace of God. As he needed to be cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, so you and I need to be cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. And we need God's salvation. And we need God's redemption. And I pray today that although you in your own heart may not classify yourself as a great sinner like Saul of Tarsus, remember this, as God looks down into your heart today, if you're not saved, God sees a heart that is black with sin, and God sees a heart that needs to be cleansed and a life that needs to be changed. Because Jesus said himself, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Your greatest need this Lord's day is to be born again of the Spirit of God. And I pray that the Lord will reveal that to you, even as we study Saul the persecutor. Now, there's something else I want you to notice about Saul the persecutor. Not only the commencement of his persecution of the church, and not only his cruelty and the depths of his cruelty towards the Church of Jesus Christ, but turn back again to Acts chapter 9. I want you to notice, thirdly, the challenge to Paul's persecution of the church. Paul's persecution did not go unnoticed, and it did not go unchecked. Now, when we come to consider Acts chapter 9 in more detail, this evening we will study these words in more in-depthly, but I want you to take a look there at verse 3 and verse 4. Look what it says. And as he journeyed, this is Saul of Tarsus, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, now this is the phrase that I want you to underline, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Look at verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Here the Lord speaks to Saul of Tarsus, and the Savior challenges this persecutor about his persecution. But notice carefully, while Paul was persecuting the saints of God and the church, what he was actually doing as he persecuted the church and the saints of God, he was persecuting Christ himself. That's what the Lord Jesus reveals to Saul of Tarsus here. As he speaks to him from heaven, as Saul marches down the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Here the Lord challenges Paul about his persecution. Paul was not only hurting the church, but he was hurting the Lord because of what he was doing. Of course, when you persecute God's people, you're persecuting God himself. And here, in this portion of scripture, of course, and it's very interesting to note this, that the Lord Jesus Christ here identifies himself with his church and with his people. You know, child of God, when we're persecuted for being a Christian, when people laugh at us for taking our stand for the Lord, when people despise us because we bear the name of Christ, always remember that they're despising Christ. They're laughing at him. They're persecuting the Lord. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 16, we read these words, "He that heareth me, and he that despiseth you," the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, "he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me." And Saul of Tarsus, while he was on his way to persecute the church of Christ, and as he continued to persecute the saints of God, he failed to realize and to recognize that he was fighting against God. But here, as the Lord speaks to him from heaven in Acts chapter 9, and of course this is the portion of scripture where Saul of Tarsus is wonderfully and gloriously converted, the Lord reveals unto him, the Lord challenges him about this sin that he has committed. You know, sinner, when you sin, you're sinning against God. When you do evil, you're committing evil against the Lord. When you break his commandments, you're offending him. When you persecute the people of God, you're persecuting him. But all sin is against Christ. And it's so important that you remember that and that you learn that and that you understand that. And if you're not saved here today, the Lord would say to you, "Why persecutest thou me? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." We've already emphasized that we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But my friend, if you go on in your life without getting that sin dealt with, in other words, without coming and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, if you don't get that sin under the blood, then really and truly, you're a persecutor of Christ. You remember when David sinned with Bathsheba. He, of course, sinned against Bathsheba, and he sinned against Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, and he also sinned against the nation of Israel. But you remember what David said after he repented. He said, "Against thee only have I sinned, Lord, and done this wickedness." Although David had sinned against others by what he had done, most of all he had sinned against the Lord. And that's the bottom line. If you're found here today without your sins forgiven, knowing nothing of God's grace in your life, you need to learn that. You need to understand that. You might sin against others. You might do evil against others. You might despise others. But remember this. The bottom line is that you're sinning against the Lord. And here, the Lord let Saul of Tarsus know that although he was persecuting the church of Christ and persecuting the saints and imprisoning the believers, that Saul had sinned against him. "Why persecutest thou me?" I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the judge of all the earth. And not only is all sin that is committed against Christ, but all sin will be judged by Christ. Because the Bible tells us that the Father hath committed all judgment unto his Son. And that in the day of judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge of all. And that's why today, in this day of grace, you need, and I need, we need our sins forgiven and we need our sins cleansed. Oh, I wonder, as we come to the close of our service this afternoon, has your sins ever been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb? That's, of course, the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross. In a few moments' time, we'll be meeting around the Lord's table. We'll be remembering his death and his appointed way. We'll be partaking of the emblems which remind us of the body that was broken and the blood that was shed. And we'll be thanking God for Christ dying upon the cross for our sins and our iniquities. But my friend, have your sins ever been forgiven? Have you ever been to Christ for cleansing? And by faith, turned to him and asked him to cleanse you and to save you? If not, then come today and thank God. The Lord will cleanse you and the Lord will save you. But I pray that even this Lord's day, that the Lord will challenge you concerning your sin. Sin will bring you to hell. Sin will damn your soul. Sin will rob you of God's peace and God's blessing and God's heaven. But thank God, there is forgiveness and there's cleansing at the cross. But you must come by faith and trust him. That's why the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's why the Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. And of course, when you read on down Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus is going to repent and he's going to believe and his life is going to be changed. But never let us forget the type of man he was before he was converted. Because the Bible again and again and again reveals unto us the great persecutor that he was before he met the Lord. Of course, there's one great lesson we learn here, and it's this. No matter how wicked or how vile or how sinful a man or woman may be, the Lord is able to save them. And the Lord's able to change them when there's true repentance and true faith in Jesus Christ. And you know, child of God, we should never despair of anyone. And maybe you're praying for someone today, maybe a loved one, and they're out in the world, and they're far away from God, and they're in deep sin. Don't despair. Pray for them. Because if God could save Saul of Tarsus, this wicked persecutor, if God could change his life, then the Lord can do the same for your loved one, your son or your daughter, your father or your mother, your auntie or your uncle, your grandmother or your granny. The Lord is able to save to the uttermost all that come to him. I pray that God will bless these few thoughts to all of our hearts. Let's bow in prayer.